Paul said that the love of many in the last days would begin to wax cold in Mark's Gospel, chapter 24, and verse 11 and 12. And they said, what is going to be the sign of your coming, and when shall all of these things be? Amen. And they said, well, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. There'll be earthquakes in divers places, and all these different signs begin to emerge. One of the things that would happen that would be so telling about the last days is that many false prophets would go out into the earth and deceive many. Many. Those are the disconcerting words that really concern me the most. This is not a little thing that's going to happen, a little aberration in a little corner of Christianity. This is something that's going to move like a mighty flood, amen, against the true faith. Many false prophets will go out into the land and deceive many. And we're not talking about Buddhism, or we're not talking about some of these other world religions. We're talking about people within the so-called Christian community. Are you listening to me? That's why it's so important. The Bible said this, and because iniquity shall abound, anytime you find false prophets, you're going to find a liberalism that lets anything go and everything go. There's a scripture I've quoted, and I'll probably use it again out of context when I use it for souls, because without a vision, the people perish. When it's used for souls, is appropriate because it's true. Without a vision for souls, raising our eyes and looking on the fields, the people are going to perish. But I want you to know the context of that has nothing to do with the salvation of lost souls. Amen. It's not a New Testament scripture at all. Has nothing to do with evangelism, winning souls to Jesus, and yet it is one of the most quoted scriptures that you'll ever find about winning people to Jesus. Amen? How many has ever heard, without a vision, the people perish? Well, don't get upset that that's not about souls, because it's a truism. Let's just take that statement out of its context as a biblical truism. Jesus said, amen, raise your eyes and look upon the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into the field, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Amen? But I guess I'm going to get away from the teaching outline tonight and just go with Mark chapter 24, verse 11 and 12. Amen. Many false prophets, sign of the, when shall these things be? Many false prophets shall go out into the earth, and they shall deceive many. And because iniquity, this is tied to that other scripture, because iniquity would abound. Because sinfulness will not be confronted. People will not be challenged anymore about the dealing with the absolute incorrigible sinfulness of the flesh. How many know that your flesh will never, ever, ever, without putting it to death, without willfully taking a stand to follow Jesus, listen, the flesh will never conform to the Christian standard. Never. Amen. The only answer for the flesh is to mortify it, to put it to death, to crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Amen? Amen. And to do it in a consistent basis, not a one-time thing. When I first got saved, you got saved, and then you came back for a second so-called act of grace in the church I was affiliated with, and you got sanctified. That's supposed to last you a lifetime. But Paul said, I sanctify myself daily. I set myself apart unto God daily. I commit myself to follow Christ on a daily basis. And he said, I don't fight as one that beateth the air, but I buffet my body and I bring it into subjection. Can you say amen? It takes a deep commitment to follow Jesus against all of, not only the winds of the world, but the winds within the church that are blowing against following Jesus. There are winds in the so-called church that really get upset when you talk about a real commitment to Christ or holding anyone accountable for a commitment to Christ. Amen. People just get saved and they're given kind of a false freedom to do their own thing and never, ever called to account about really taking up their cross and following the Lord. However, Jesus said, everybody say Jesus said, the only way to deal with falsehood is get so deep into truth that you don't hear anything but truth. And if it doesn't line up with the truth that's once been delivered, you just do not receive it as truth at all. Amen. Jesus said, if anyone would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, which means crucifying the flesh and the lust thereof. It's not just being persecuted and say, oh, poor old me, at the work they're talking about me because I serve Jesus. No, that's not it. If you crucify the flesh, it won't matter that they talk about you at work. The only reason it matters is because the flesh is not on the cross. In fact, the things that come against you like that can help put the nails, amen, in the flesh and put it on the cross. Amen? Amen. If any man would be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come and follow me. And listen to the challenge. You talk about a radical commitment. Jesus called for radical commitment. He said, you're going to have to love me supremely to do this. If any man love father or mother, sister or brother, husband or wife, house or land, that just about covers every area of our passions and our commitments. Can you say amen? Amen. He said, I'm going to go a step further. In fact, if you don't hate your mother, father, sister, brother, and yea, your own life, you can't be my disciple. But I love my mom. But when, you want this explained to you? What does it mean? Does it mean that we're some kind of cult that says divorce your family and never be around them? No, it means that you love them, but you don't love them on the level that you love God. And if you compare the love you have for God, who is a deity who gave his son and a son who gave his life for you, amen, the comparison between the love for the person you love the most on this earth should be like a light darkness, like two complete different poles. I love my wife, but I will not lay down my faith if she quits God. She loves me, and I pray that she loves Christ more than she loves me. If she don't love Christ more than she loved me and I were to fail, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to lead her away from Jesus. That's why I try to warn young people and adults, be not unequally yoked together, the believer and the unbeliever. Why? Amen. Because if you commit your heart to someone and you don't love Christ supremely, amen, you'll compromise your faith in Christ to satisfy the one that you love. You can't serve two masters. You can't love simultaneously like that. Jesus is literally saying the love for God has to stand out above and beyond any of your earthly commitments. Can you say amen of your heart? Amen. So he used the term, it's like light and darkness. We try to put, we get into these dilemmas. Should I lose my boyfriend or girlfriend, or should I compromise my faith? What's it going to be? A lot of people end up trying to blend both of them. They won't blend. Right. What fellowship hath light with dark? See, there it is. There's the two poles again. Can you say, man? It's light, darkness. There's no gray. There's no gray in God. It's all or nothing. It's Christ or the devil. There's no in-between here somewhere. Amen. The church likes to create a fog and an in-between today to make everybody satisfied. We can have one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and the church is happy to have your attendance and your tithe, and the world is happy to have you doing its thing 6 days a week. Amen. But Jesus wouldn't have none of that. Can you say amen? His challenge was so strong. Amen. A lot of people in churches wouldn't show up if he showed up to preach. How do you know that? Because when I preach that, they don't show up. And it's his word. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. And I know why he said it. Because if you're going to be an upstream Christian in a downstream world, you're going to have to press toward the mark. You're going to have to strain forward. It's going to take a real commitment of your heart and your faith. And if your heart isn't committed, then it's open for the enemy to solicit. That's why when you get single-minded, there's something about getting single-minded. Amen. When you get married, you say, that is my wife. I will explore all the mysteries of womanhood in this one person. Amen. 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 And believe me, there's a lot of mysteries in womanhood. And all the men said,
amen.
And the women will even admit,
amen.
That wasn't as strong as the men, gals. But sometimes, to be honest, you're a mystery to us. I've been married 46 years, and my wife is still mysterious. Amen. How about yours? How long have you been married?
13.
Is she still a little bit of a mystery?
Amen.
All right. Praise. How about you, Terry? Is your wife? You never know till you get home, do you? Oh, okay. You're never home. Well, you'll never solve the mystery. Amen. Hallelujah. When you're single-minded, it's amazing what happens when you're single-minded. Paul said, this one thing I do. Everybody say, this one thing. This one thing. This one thing. Everybody say it again. This one thing I do. Amen. This one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind and reaching forth to the things that are before. This one, he was single-minded. I'm pressing forward for the mark, for the prize, to the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Amen. And every Christian is challenged to follow him as he followed Christ. He said, if you're going to follow Jesus in a fallen world, you're going to be an upstream Christian in a downstream world. You're going to be going against the wind and against the culture and against the flesh. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And you're going to have to put forth a real effort. And I don't mean in your human strength, but in the force of your will. Everybody say my will. Amen. The Holy Ghost is standing by. I believe he's up to the task of empowering you and me. I don't believe you can fathom the might of God that is represented as the Holy Ghost manifests his power. Can you say amen? I can't fathom the might that created the universe. I used to use that word power. It's the word dunamis, and we get the word dynamo from it when a mighty a dam is built and there's a turbine put up on top of there, and it's water comes over and it turns the turbine, and a whole city is electrified because of that turbine. That's mighty harness power. The power of all that water flowing, the power that turns that turbine and illuminates an entire city. It's awesome power. That's called dynamo. It comes from that word dunamis that Jesus used for power, but it has nothing to do with Oh, by the way, it also is the root word for dynamite. Everybody say dynamite.
Dynamite.
Amen. Dynamite is powerful stuff. Can you say amen? But it ain't nothing compared to the Holy Ghost. Dynamo doesn't do justice to the Holy Ghost. The word dunamis as it relates to the Holy Ghost in the Greek is miracle, working, power, and ability. Amen. Not your ability, but God's ability. And when we're talking about God's ability, we're talking about a God who, listen, the sun is the smallest star in our galaxy. Do you realize the sun is a star, and it's one of the smallest stars in our galaxy? And someone said if the sun was hollow, you could put 25,000 Earths inside of it. Somebody say, wow.
Wow.
Say it backwards.
Wow.
That's incredible, isn't it? Amen. Listen, that's the little one. That's the little minuscule star in our solar system. Listen to this very carefully. God said, let there be a firmament, and everything that there is up there came into existence. Wow, again. Glory to God. Amen just doesn't do that justice. This is jaw-dropping. Power beyond anything. You know, that's why the Bible said when that Holy Ghost that was there and to carry out the will of God to manifest that, this powerful spiritual being that brings into existence whatever God calls into existence. Genesis 1 said the earth was without form and it was void. And God said, let there be a firmament. Oh, before that happened, and the Holy Ghost moved upon the deep. And you know what that word moved is in the Hebrew? It meant to brood over. It was used for a mother hen, amen, nestling down on those eggs to bring those chickens into manifestation, to bring those little chicks, amen, into life, amen, brooding over. The Holy Ghost is so creative. He longs to work. He longs to move. We're trying to get God to move, and God is trying to position us and posture us so that he can move. God is always on the move. Amen. When Ezekiel saw him, amen, withdrawing from the temple, what did he see? What did God let him see? A wheel within a wheel. Can you? Oh, somebody say a wheel within a wheel. The active, powerful moving. God is not a stolid. God is not stagnant. God is not still. Amen. He that keepeth Israel never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always on the move. Can you say amen? And revival is just getting in sync with a God that's already moving. It's not getting him to move.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Everybody say getting in sync with a God who's already moving. Amen. It's not getting him to move. We think he's sitting aloof in his heaven, telling us to be alerted to the fact that people are lost and dying, to raise our eyes, and he's sitting aloof in his heaven, waiting on some dispensational time in his mind and his mind only, and all of our works are futile till he finally decides to move. What baloney. Can you say amen? He said, it's not me, it's you.
Amen.
It's you, it's me. Amen. God's on the move. Everybody say that with me. God's on the move. We used to sing in church, you got to move, you got to move, you got to move, you got to move. When the Lord gets ready, you got, he's ready. He's been ready since Pentecost. Everything he was going to give us to get in sync with him and his move has been available since the day of Pentecost. We don't need another Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revival allows the God who is already moving, amen, to move through us, to perambulate. Amen. And when we sanctify ourselves unto him for that holy purpose, that wheel within a wheel, amen, starts churning and burning on the inside. Praise God. And out of your belly flows, amen, what? Rivers of living water. And believe me, if your testimony becomes effective when it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And not just biblical knowledge. You get excited and enthused about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let there be and there was. This is the mighty Holy Spirit. So it says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask according to the power that worketh. There's God at work. God moving within us. So the power that created the universe is available to you and me. It's called dunamis. You receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And not just power to speak in tongues and power to operate in spiritual gifts, but power to follow Jesus. Power to live an overcoming, victorious life. The strength we lack is all vested in him. Can you say amen? Paul said, as I die to self, his life comes alive within me through the Holy Spirit. Until it's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. You say, I can't live the Christian life. He didn't ask you to live it. He asked you to die so he can live it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Paul said, the life that I now live in the flesh.
Amen.
Amen. I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah. His faith, his life, his power. Praise God. You can't even take credit for your faith. And talk about my great faith did that. Your great God did that.
Yes,
can you say amen? Your faith in him, and the faith even comes from him. Looking unto Jesus, who's what? Author and the what? The finisher of what? Our faith. Hallelujah. We're miserable losers and failures without him. Apart from him, the scripture says you can do nothing. You're like a branch off of a tree. God wants you to draw your strength from him. Every bit of it, not most of it, some of it, but all of it, the total of it. Amen. I got down and prayed at home before I came in tonight and I said, Lord, the Holy Spirit's going to have to do this. You've got to do it. You've got to bring breakthroughs. You've got to change lives. You've got to be the one. I can't do it. I'm experienced. I can preach without you, but I dare not. Oh, you didn't hear me tonight. I dare not. It'll all be in vain. It'll hit your head when the target of God is your heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And if God comes alive in your heart and the flame comes alive in your heart and you line up with a God who's a wheel within a wheel.
Amen.
He's moving. He's active. He's powerful. Praise the Lord. And we just need to get in sync with the God who's on the move. Halabakoshanda. He's moving in China. He's moving in Russia. He's moving in South America. He's moving in Mexico. He's moving in the islands of the sea. Can you say me? And he's moving in churches that led him.
Amen.
I said that led him.
Amen.
If you're ever praying for revival, don't try to get God to do something. Make yourself available. Can you say amen? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Here am I, Lord, is the great cry for revival.
Amen.
Amen. God is moving.
Amen.
God is moving. So here's the scripture out of context. Without a vision, the people perish. In the actual Hebrew, in the actual context of the writing of the Old Testament, it would read this way. Because Israel was backsliding, and the priests were compromising, and judgment was looming over them. And without a vision, without someone to come and set the standard and challenge people to follow the standard that God had set for his people, the people are going to perish. Enemies will destroy them. Can you say amen? They will come out from under his covering. He doesn't have to send a judgment by actually hurting them. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. All he has to do is allow them to walk out from under his covering. Honey, when you're out from under his covering, the Lord's covering, the devil will do you damage. Make no mistake about it. He hates God's people. And he can't hurt God. He can't go up and smack God. But he can hurt God this way. Amen. By hurting God's creation. How many know it breaks God's heart? I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. Even in the time of judgment, I want you to know where God stands in these times. I have no pleasure. I have no pleasure. I'm not getting satisfaction out of seeing men and women destroyed, even evil, wicked men and women. Can you say amen? He even told Israel who he defended by letting that great flood come down on Pharaoh's army and destroying the firstborn to deliver them. He said, I gave men for thee. In other words, it wasn't a light thing to God, amen, to destroy that army. We rejoice and we say, oh, God delivered them from their enemies. God said, but even their enemies are people, amen, that I love. This is my creation down there. They've been tainted by sin, but I love them. And Jesus came to die for everybody in this world. Not just a few righteous people or a few privileged people, but for everybody. Can you say amen? And because why? Because God has an intense, burning, passionate heart of love for everybody. And he said, listen, something precious, even the wicked death is still a death. And listen to me. He said, I gave men for you, Israel. You should appreciate the fact that I gave men for you. I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. So why would you die, O house of Israel? I put two ways before your blessing, cursing. Life and death. Choose life. That you might see it's always black and white. It's always light and dark. It's always one pole or the other. There's no in between. It's life or death. It's darkness or light. It's Christ or mammon. But there's never a two-master blend. Can you say, man, you can't eat at the table of the Lord's on Sunday and eat at the table of the devil Monday through Saturday? The Bible says you can't do that. The church says it's okay as long as you give and let us build the new thing we're building. God says it don't matter what you give until you give yourself. You've given nothing of any consequence. Can you say amen? Amen. Listen to me very carefully. Until you give, God wants nothing less than the totality of you. Amen. Now you can write a check to get a job. You can write a check to get your kids saved. You can write a check. Everything's done with a check. Amen. No, it's not. Amen. God wants you. He don't want. This is not just a financial transaction. This is spiritual stuff. This goes beyond anything you can buy with money. You can't buy blessings if you were the richest man in the world. If you gave $1 billion to CBN, you couldn't buy a blessing. Amen. The blessing has been provided through the blood of Jesus Christ at the cross, and it's not for sale. I'm not saying that generosity doesn't bring a reciprocating of God. But if you think that you can just, without giving yourself to God, without taking up your cross, without following Jesus, just write a check. But there's an implication that you can. Some people don't want any more from you. The only challenge they're going to give you is to give money. And God, because you gave the money, they never ask, are you true to your wife? They never ask, are you following Jesus with your whole heart? They never ask about your commitment. They never ask about any of these areas that Jesus said is supreme to it all. So there's an implication that all you have to do is write the check and all the blessings will flow to you. Amen? And everybody gets the same letter as if everyone was right with God. Isn't that amazing? Everybody gets the same... A lady had a letter from, I think it was, and I'm not putting him down per se, but I won't even use the name. But anyway, it's because there's so many names now to name. Amen. And time is short. Amen. But he got a letter from a major evangelist and framed it and put it on the wall to think that this man, with all that he's got going, would write me a letter. Honey, if you're so naive as to think that that wasn't a computer-generated letter and that he didn't sign 10,000 letters, he can't sign 10,000 letters. He's too busy to sign 10,000 letters. Amen? But she thought, since it came to her mailbox with his signature, that he signed the letter, wrote it direct to her, and what she didn't know was everybody that was on the mailing address got the same letter. And it's okay. But if everybody got the letter saying, if you'll send to this ministry, God's going to do this and this for you. Well, what about the letter that ends up at a house where the man is secretly having an affair? Does that cancel that out? The money's going to cancel out the fact that he's an adulterer? What if it ends up at a house where a woman is doing cocaine? Hooked hopelessly on cocaine. Is a check in the mail going to resolve that issue with God? And the blessing is going to be sure because a seed was sown into this ministry? No, it's not. There's this assumption that everybody's right with God. God never assumes that all of us are right with Him. He says every time you have communion, examine yourself. Can you say, amen? You better check yourself out. It's been a month. Make sure you're where you need to be. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, but exhort one another. Listen, say it with me. Strongly encourage one another. In what? In right living. Everybody say living right. How many believe we need to be checks and balances to one another? I've told this story so many times I almost hesitate to tell it, but somebody may hear it that hadn't heard it, but about the prayer fast down in Africa. Tribe in Africa, most of them had become Christian. And when they became Christian, they became accountable to one another. Amen. Some people would like to go to church where there's no accountability to one another. Amen. Where we don't see each other's obvious flaws and don't pray for one another. Don't confess our faults to one another because there's an assumption. There is. We're all faultless. Well, I got the news for you. I'm not and you're not. And we need each other. And we need to be honest with each other. And particularly, we need to be honest with God. Some people like to go where they never sit by the same person any Sunday because that way nobody knows what they're really like. And the pastor doesn't care. He's never going to challenge anyone because if you got that many people, hey, do I rock the boat? Can you say, amen, everything is lovey-dovey and we're just sailing down the sea of life. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. It's not that simple. God holds us to an accountability. So these people were taught to pray every single day. And you're living in a hut with your grandpa, your grandma, and your father-in-law, and your mama-in-law, and your niece, and your cousin, and your uncles, and aunts, and your kids, and your wife. Where are you going to pray? Well, you go out of the hut. You get away from the hustle bustle. You go out back of it. Amen. And you go down and you pray at the edge of the jungle. You don't go back in there where the lions are and the snakes and that stuff. Amen. Pamela's prayer path would be very short. Amen. Amen. It would be a short prayer path. But they called it their prayer path. Amen. There was a beaten down area. They actually made a pathway. And all these little paths behind these huts. It's where people went to be alone with God and to pray in a close community like that. You had to get alone to pray. And they were taught to go pray, to enter into your closet, shut to the door. They went down their prayer path and they knelt and they prayed and they come back and they had their devotion, personal devotion. This is not the corporate stuff. This is the individual, personal stuff. Can you say amen? This is the real meat of it all. Amen. It's one thing about sitting in a chair and letting people pray over you. There's another thing about being the person helping to pray for someone. Amen. But everyone in this room, amen, needs a personal relationship with Jesus, where the Bible said when you pray, Jesus taught, when you pray, when you get into your personal devotions, enter into your closet. Amen. Pamela, don't go there with me. I don't go there with her. Can you say amen? Enter into your personal place, your space. Amen. And pray. Enter into your closet and listen. Shut to the door. That means to shut yourself in with God and shut everybody and everything else out. And God who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Can you say amen? God who sees how? In secret. See, if when it's you and God, you don't have to pray that big impressive prayer that you might be tempted to pray publicly. Amen. Can you say amen? How many know some people are just good prayers publicly? God says that don't carry no weight with me. You can drop the these and thous when you get in there with him. He's not impressed with, oh, thou great, mighty God of the universe. Oh, thou that has made heaven and earth and all things that therein is. Well, that's fine and dandy. He knows who he is. You don't have to tell him. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? How many know he knows who he is? He's the great I am. That's just wasted time as far as he's concerned. If there's sin, repent of it. Praise God. If you got a struggle, lay it before him. Praise God. Our Father which art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts. While you're in there, amen, have a personal time, a personal repentance. Get it really right with God so when you come out of there, there's nothing between you and God. Can you say amen? Somebody give him praise in this room. Hallelujah! But when the prayer path was beaten down, they knew that there was active prayer going on from that family and from the head of that family. But when that prayer path got overgrown, and weeds came up, they knew that people have not been taking time to pray. Church can become so entertaining and so seemingly presented as something that is all encompassing. If you just show up on Sunday and get this tape set and get this Bible, this study Bible, you're going to have everything you need to defeat the devil, live in success. Everything is fine. You just give to this ministry, get these tapes, you're going to be just fine. God says you better find your personal walk with him. And work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. After a while, this is not being part of a crowd being entertained by the presentation of a church. This becomes you and God, me and God. But tell you something about dying. When it comes time to die, it's going to be you and God. Nobody walks that valley with you. Nobody. I laid in the bathroom floor and felt my spirit leaving my body. Would have left it. I wanted out of my body. I wanted to go on home. Because it was like drowning above water. If you can understand that, breathing without oxygenating. And so it came to me. You shouldn't be afraid to die. And I thought, that's true. And I'm not. I don't like dying. But I'm not afraid of being with the Lord, because that's what happens when I die as a Christian. Can you say amen? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. That's not a bad deal. But the process of getting absent from the body, I'm not too fond of when you're choking like that. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? Everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to die. Can you say amen? And so it was so terrifying and so just unbearable. Instead of telling my wife to call 911, I sent her out of the room. I was in the bathroom. I sent her out and I asked her, I said, honey, please leave me alone with God. I need to be alone with God. You know, it's an amazing thing. Everything else in my life, I want my wife right there to comfort me, to be with me. But when I felt like I may be dying, I wanted to be me and God. Her comfort couldn't reach where I was. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I was ready to say, into thine hands, because it came to me, a scripture came to me, impressed upon me, into thy hands commend I my spirit. And I wanted to get out of this failing body. I didn't want to suffer and struggle for breath. I've heard of people that survived, that went overboard and felt like they were going to drown and were rescued just before they did drown. And you know what their prayer? Every one of them's prayer was the same if they were a Christian. Lord, let me die quickly. Let me die quickly. Don't let me suffer. Amen. I'm not asking just for deliverance, but if death is imminent and you're not going to interrupt that, let it be quick. Can you say amen? So I started to say, into thine hands commend I my spirit. And the Holy Ghost checked me. He checked me big time. He talked to me as powerfully, as perfectly as I've ever heard his voice in my heart. And Jesus said through him, don't say that. I'm not done with you yet. And I choked those words back and I realized Satan just wanted me to acquiesce. He just wanted to put me out of commission, get me off the scene. But I wanted out of this old faith. I wanted out. But God gave me sufficient grace. And I laid there all night long, taking little bitty short breaths, just barely enough to keep me conscious, but a peace came over me and settled over me. And honey, you can run, you can jump, you can shout, you can prophesy, but I'm going to tell you something, until you develop a relationship with God that kicks in times like that, all of that, amen, don't account for very much. Can you say amen? I wouldn't trade that peace for every run that I've ever had, and I love to run. I wouldn't trade that peace for every shout I've ever had, and I love to shout. I wouldn't trade that peace for every manifestation of God that I felt in my body. Amen. This was deeper than feeling Him in my body. I felt Him in my soul, in my spirit, in my life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I know when the time comes, there will be a day when I will be able to say, into thy hands commend I my spirit. And I pray I zip on out of here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you listening to me? It'll be okay on that day, because I've been to the brink of it, and there is a peace to go home with. Everybody say, a peace to go home with. I'll say it louder. There is a peace to go home with. Don't ever let the devil threaten you with death. That's the last thing he can threaten you with. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Here's why we're to strongly encourage one another. When that prayer path grew up, another Christian man saw it, was overgrown, and he confronted the man who lived there. And he said, my brother, I see your prayer path is full of weeds, it's overgrown. And the Lord has taught us that we must pray. We must pray. The Bible said we ought to pray to escape temptation. The only way to really do it is get in a real relationship with Jesus. Amen? Amen? Nobody can lay hands on you and take the place of your relationship with God. So many people want an evangelist to handle all of this stuff. Is any afflicted? Lay hands on him. No. Is any afflicted? Any sick? Lay hands on him. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. Are you depressed over it? Let him pray. 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 Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray, Christ said, and not to faint. Everybody say, always to pray and not to faint. Well, what comes through prayer? Well, you may not sense God. You may sense God. You may not sense God at all. It has nothing to do with what you sense. When you pray, faith is supposed to be released. Whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing. The issue of prayer is believing. Believing what? Believing that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. Not because you feel it, but because it's a fact. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah. It's a fact. Hallelujah. I pray better when I feel it, because I get all enthusiastic. But I'm going to tell you something. It makes no difference. If you pray, He listens. His eyes are on the righteous. How many here are saved? Amen. Clothed in His righteousness tonight. His eyes are upon the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. So cry out to Him. If you don't feel nothing, what I'm after is an answer, not a feeling. Can you say amen? Oh, somebody say glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I've spoken these things unto you that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. In the context of what He spoke was, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He's going to give it to you. Amen. God is gracious. We can do that when we come together. Don't forsake coming together. And the man was convicted, not because someone judged him or criticized him, but someone exhorted him. Your prayer life is... And a lot of people don't want that. They do not want to be close enough for anyone to notice that they're slowly waning and falling away from the Lord. And it's easier to get lost in a crowd where nobody knows your life than to be up close and personal where everybody knows and notices when your prayer path or your commitment is beginning to wane. We need each other. We need to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but much more as we see that. Some churches don't know if you're there, and they have people sign in. Because they have no earthly idea if you showed up unless you sign in. There's a sea of faces out there, and there's nothing wrong with that. I'd love to preach to a sea of faces, but something has to kick in. Christian community has to kick in somewhere where we have an accountability. When we first started a choir up here, we had accountability, and we had a church that has you know, you're in Pentecost, you go to church, you go where the Spirit leads you, do what the Spirit tells you to do, which means I do my thing. To a lot of people, instead of God's thing, you couldn't hardly corral them long enough to get anything much done for God. If you could harness all of that energy and all those people into a committed, concerted effort, look what we could do for the Lord. But when everybody wants to preach, it's hard to find backing for someone who's called to preach. It was hard to harness in the early days. People show up and tear off and show up and tear off and show up and tear off and show up and tear off. And the people that tore off willy-nilly, going here and there, out from under any pastoral covering, didn't get anywhere. Come on. I've lived long enough to watch it. They didn't get anywhere. They didn't become world evangelists. They didn't become great musicians. They didn't become great singers. Many of them backslid and shipwrecked because they left community. Amen. They went out from us. And they wouldn't have went out from us. They were not of us, or they wouldn't have went out from us, the early church said. This is a together thing. Make no mistake about it. We're in this together, like it or not. We may be neighbors in heaven. We better get good at it down here. Can you say amen? For eternity. You may be stuck with me forever, so try to get along down here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? We're community. Do you understand that? They tell me the redwood forest, I haven't really run this out, but they tell me that the redwood trees, the giant redwood trees, some of them are wider than, does anybody know the girth of a redwood tree? Those giant trees, the most ancient trees in North America, the giant redwoods in where California is, Yosemite, I don't know where they are, but I'd like to see them someday. I did see a picture of a car driving through one that had a tunnel hewed out within it. Giant redwoods, the biggest trees in North America, the oldest trees, the widest trees, the strongest trees, ancient trees, weathered every storm that has ever come. They still stand, but they tell me their root system doesn't grow straight down. It's not because their roots grow down and they're strong in and of themselves. It's because their roots are shallow and they grow in groves. It's because the roots intertwine with each other and they network until it's that intertwining. Every tree's strength depends on the tree beside of it. Can you say, but how many know there's no lone wolves in Christianity? When Paul was in prison, one of the greatest men of God in the New Testament, amen, the church sent an emissary to him called Epaphroditus. And when this man came to him, Paul was absolutely overwhelmed. This man had no office and no title. To me, he was a gopher. Everybody say a gopher. Amen. You know what a gopher is? You go for this and you go for that for other people. Amen. A humble servant of Jesus Christ. No papers, no quality. He was just a representative to take the church's greetings and to bring an offering to Paul. But when he got to where Paul was in prison, amen, Paul received such, and he got sick on the way and almost died, but recovered and came on to the Apostle Paul just to be a blessing to Paul with a servant heart. But let me tell you what Paul said about that guy when he got there. Amen. Paul said, this is my brother. This is my companion in labor. And this is my fellow soldier. He's ministering to me. Can you say, man, I'm here under house arrest, or I'm here in this prison, wherever I am. He's here with me. And he's an encouragement to me. And thank you for your prayers and your good wishes and your offering. But this man is the real gift God has sent to me. He risked his own life to get up. Amen. Just barely recovered and come on to where I am. What a precious man he is. And he said, I don't know what he is to you, but I'm going to tell you what he is to me. He's my brother. He's my companion in labor. And he's my fellow soldier. You honor him when he gets back to the church. Somebody give God praise in here. That's community. Nobody stands alone. Amen. That's why God sent him out, what? Two by two. Hallelujah. Bible said two are better than one. For if one falls alone, there's no one to lift him up. But if one falls and there's somebody with him, there's always somebody there alongside. Hallelujah. How the church is more than just where we go listen to sermons and go our way. It's where we connect and commit to Christ and to one another. In fact, we're supposed to love each other so much that we would lay down our lives for each other. Sister Ruth, if they're coming to get you and they got me first and said, if you don't tell me where Ruth is, amen, we're going to kill you. I'm supposed to say you can kill the body, but you can't kill my spirit. Amen. And but I'm not telling you where Ruth is. For one another. Honey, there are people that acquit you like that and never look back. Amen. As if you never existed. We're a long way from what Christ did. No wonder they were so powerful and strong in the face of persecution. Can you say, man, they were community. Everybody say they were a community. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And even the mighty Apostle Paul said, this servant that came to me, amen, is more than a servant. He's my brother. The word brethren is found over 371 or 41 times in the New Testament. Brother or brethren or a similar word that means the same thing. Everybody say community. Amen. Amen. The church wasn't just a fragmented group of people that came together on Sunday and went their merry way. They were a committed group of people that came together and they were committed to Christ and to one another. And they were a community. And they were daily in one another's houses and breaking bread together, praying for one another, bearing one another's burdens, confessing their faults to one another, and praying that the whole body, the whole community might be healed. Can you say, man? It's a lot different than it is today. So different than it is today. And they were challenged, strongly encouraged to live right in the face of persecution, possible death, but to live it out. Hallelujah. And they stood strong and the gospel went into all the world out of that little community of people that began at Jerusalem. We need more than great preachers. We need great churches. Everybody say great churches. We need more than two or three or four or a dozen anointed individuals sent into all the world. We need Christians who are already in all the world. Amen. To rise up and shine for Jesus Christ in this last day. Amen. Hallelujah. There are people that will never listen to that evangelist. Never turn on Christian television. Do you realize people are, God is not forcing anybody to turn on CBN. Some people come to God. Many people come to God. But that is not the primary way that God saves. God was saving people before we had television. And He's still saving people. Amen. Would you be on TV? Absolutely. Amen. You pay for the time. Point that camera at me. I'll preach the gospel to the world. Can you say, man, be glad to do it? Jump at the opportunity to do it. But that's not going to keep me from being a personal witness every opportunity that I have. Hallelujah. Led a lady to the Lord at the trash compactor at work. Praise God. The preacher pulled in the net and she got through the hole on Sunday morning. Praise God. But God had me and her arrive at the trash compactor at the same time. Amen. She looked at me and she said, Rev, she said, Sunday morning I was under such conviction. I've lived a wicked life. I've done so many things. I don't know how God could love me, but I felt the love of God and I went to church Sunday morning. The altar call come and I didn't go. Do you think He'll give me a second chance? I said, God will save you right here, right now. Amen. You're broken in your spirit already. You're already repenting of your sin. All you have to do is go ahead and say, Father, forgive me. I receive Jesus right now as my Savior. Tears begin to come down. She was a temporary sent to work temporarily. Amen. God sent her to that plant that Monday so she could arrive at the same time in divine appointment. Amen. So that I could lead her to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And the devil couldn't convince her to give up on God and give up on salvation. And I'm glad I was where I was. Amen. When I was and instant in season, out of season. Amen. Listen to me. Amen. Let anointed evangelists that are sent to the world go and do what God has called them to do. But don't miss the fact that that one soul that night was vitally important to God. And there's no price that can be put on her soul. Can you say, man, God wants to use you where you are. Hallelujah. We're a community of people with a ministry of reconciliation. Where there's no vision, the people perish. In the context it was written would read this way. This is what they understood it to mean when they heard it from the prophet. Where there's no clear word from God in the mouth of the prophets. No vision, no true word from the Lord. The people lose all their moral restraints. There's no one saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. They're saying, pick your way. Do your thing. Don't rock the boat. Just send in this, and all those issues of your life will be taken care of. It's not that simplistic. You don't buy blessings with money. Money from a generous heart. Listen, a generous heart don't just give in offerings. A generous heart gives love. A generous heart gives themselves to God lavishly and loved Him passionately. Amen? You think you could not love God but just give to a minister to get the stuff He promised God would give you? And that's going to satisfy a God who looks into the heart before He listens to anything we say or responds to anything that we do? Amen? How many know God knows my heart tonight? Amen. How many know He knows your heart tonight? Amen. Well, then there's no sense in playing these deadly games. What is the sign of the last day? Many false prophets. Are they out there? And some of them are sweet. You think false prophets are all mean-spirited, ugly-looking things? You can see if you felt up here, you could feel those nubs where they had the horns sawed off. It's no marvel if Satan himself be transformed as an angel of light. And listen to this. Hear it. And his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Why is it no marvel? Because before he was Satan, before he was Diablos, before he was the destroyer, before he was Apollyon, you know who he was? He was Lucifer. I have heard kids name. There was a lady at a burger place today where we stopped, where I grew up. I lived where the burger place is, and I like to sit there because the chickens that used to wake me up in the morning, there's still chickens from that same house next door that crow. Well, they're not chickens that crow. That would take a miracle. But roosters crow, don't they? Chickens do whatever chicken they cackle. All right. Thank you. Amen. I failed biology. No, I didn't. Amen. Well, it's not even about biology, is it? What agriculture? Anyway, the chickens are still there. And I like to sit there and reminisce and eat a hamburger. And we sit there. And there was a lady there today. And on her name tag, it said Ting Ting. And she's just a young black lady that we met before. And it wasn't her real name. I don't know where she got the Ting Ting thing. But I thought I'd be nice because I thought it was really weird. And I looked at it and I said, that is a unique name. That's one way of saying it's really, really weird. Can you say me without hurting anybody's feelings? I said, amen. A Ting Ting. I thought, Ting Ting. That's a unique name. She said, oh, that's not my name. And I thought, well, that isn't your name. Why is it on your name tag? But I didn't say anything, but I just couldn't bring myself to call her Ting Ting. Amen. Ting, T-I-N-G, T-I-N-G. Two different words there on the name tag. I didn't go any further with it. I don't even know where that was going, except that I was in that place that I used to be, and I'd love to be there. Let me tell you something. Amen. What God is looking for tonight. Is, and maybe I'll remember where this was going. Maybe it's not important and God just blanked it out and said, it's time to quit. Don't end up with that. Don't even go there. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you something. We need to know each other by name. We need to know each other. There are people that go to church for 2 years and they don't even hardly know each other because they hardly ever sit together. There's no accountability. I wish we had that building over there, and I wish there was 2,500 people sitting in the audience tonight to minister to. I would love that with all of my heart. But we'd have to find a way, amen, to get up close and personal. We couldn't just let it become an impersonal thing. Can you say amen? We got But listen, false prophets can be sweet as they can be. They can have some of what it says in the Word of God in their mouths. Just enough truth to make their lies believable. And it's not so much what they're saying, Brother Terry. It's what the Bible has clearly stated that they are careful not to say. Can you say, man, I don't even just listen anymore for what a man is saying. I'm listening to hear what he's not saying. Can you say, man? Paul said, I have not shunned to declare unto you what? The whole counsel of God. Therefore, I am pure from the blood of all men. If you're going to preach to me, you can't just preach healing. You can't just preach faith. You can't just preach prosperity. Amen. If you're going to preach to me, and I'm going to listen and give you credibility, I don't care how many people follow. Many, amen, shall go into the land, and many shall follow after them. Here's what I'm looking for. I want to hear the whole counsel of God. Can you say amen? I want to know. And listen, I'm not going to answer to somebody's evangelistic association. I'm not going to answer to someone's denomination or their holy conclave. I'm not going to answer to the Pope or to a priest or to a preacher or to an apostle or to any angel. I'm going to stand before Almighty God, and I want to hear the truth on Sunday morning. Somebody give Him praise tonight. Give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The truth will set you free. Amen. One of the ears of freedom is this old sinful flesh. We need each other. Like the redwood trees, we need to get our roots intertwined to where I stand and Terry stands and Ruth stands and Sean stands and Willie stands and we all interconnect. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And we exhort one another daily. Amen. Hallelujah. We encourage each other. Strongly encourage one another. Not just with encouragement in general, but specifically in right living. Amen. Many false prophets shall go out into the land, shall deceive many. Listen to the next verse, the result of it. And because iniquity will abound, no one's dealing with these issues that are so vital to victory, true victory. Because iniquity will abound, hear it, the love of many, many false prophets, many following them. And because iniquity will abound, will flourish when there's no clear word from the Lord in the mouth of the prophets, people lose what? All moral restraints. What is it when that happens? Iniquity. Amen. A bent toward sinfulness instead of a bent toward righteousness. And because it abounds, unabated and unchallenged by those who are sent and set to be watchmen over Israel. Can you say amen? The love of many waxes cold. This is not the unregenerate world. They have never loved God. No one unsaved loves God. Make no mistake about it. You don't fall in love with God until you get saved. Amen. If you loved Him, you wouldn't be a sinner in the first place. You'd be saved. Amen. Amen? Amen? So this has got to be the church. What should be the sign of your coming? An apostasy is going to come. Amen. Where they talk love, they sing love, they say love, but they don't walk in a life that proves love. They love themselves. And if there wasn't the promise of immediate fleshly gratification and material gain, they wouldn't be in church on Sunday. If they had to deny themselves, take up their cross in order to follow Him, you'd see mega churches become mini churches overnight. Come on. Amen. Not all of them, but some of them, because some of them preach nothing but how to get immediate fleshly gratification. And some of that is spiritual. Some people go to church just to feel God on Sunday. Some people will follow evangelists all over the nation like Christian groupies. To do what? To get another feeling. I know one young lady that was a groupie that came here from Lord knows where and went wherever the evangelist went. That's where this dear sister went. The last I heard, was committed to a mental institution. A man that I married in Maine who came to our church. I finally saw his wife. He had testified to me. I saw him, heard from him. He testified that he was in a meeting, one of those local meetings that's supposed to be God moving, mighty revival breaking out. And he was in that meeting, was slain in the spirit, and got holy laughter and all the experiences that were available at the meeting. And he said all his life he'd had bouts with depression and suicidal tendencies and all of these different things. And he said an angel appeared to him while he was on the floor in that condition. The angel came over and reached down inside of him and pulled all that stuff out of him, and he was free and he was rejoicing. 3 months later, I saw his wife in a convenience store cashiering in the convenience store, and I asked how he was. Said that they were separated. He went back to where he was from, and he was in deep depression. She was concerned that he might try to take his own life. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. That was not an angel. Right. That was not God's work. Right. If it was an angel, it wasn't the angel of the Lord. Amen. Because, amen, what God does doesn't fizzle out in 3 months. Can you say amen? Listen to me. We've got to get real about this thing and get authentic. I want a real move of God. I don't want just a liver shiver. Can you say amen? Every now and then I want something deep. I want the peace that passes understanding so that my mind is not troubled. I want my soul to be at rest in Jesus. Amen. All the rest is the peripheral stuff. Amen. The real stuff produces, amen, reality in your life. Can you say amen? Amen. I've been preaching this gospel now for over 35 years, and I'm going to tell you something. I'm still pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 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 And my last breath, I want it to be part of a pressing on and pressing in. Praise God. Church quits pressing. She starts regressing. Everything starts going back. And the hardest people to revive are people that are happy where they are. Satisfied. God calls it lukewarmness. I'm rich, increased with goods. I have need of nothing. In other words, that's what I was after. That's what I got. I'm not looking for anything else. Jesus knocking on the door to bring the richness of His grace, the power of holiness to them, and they were uninterested, disenchanted with all of that, because they had achieved what they went after. What? Material goods and fleshly gratification. And He's knocking, and they won't open.